several hundred million years ago, there was a beach here in northern Illinois, and it was a beautiful white sand beach, just like if you went to maybe your favorite beach on the Gulf Coast or on the East Coast. So picture a beautiful white sand beach. At the time, there was no land vegetation or anything. So this sand that's deposited here is this beautiful, clean, white sand that is 95 to 99% pure quartz. So a lot of sand beaches might have a little bit of extra other kinds of sand mixed in, but this is an especially clean sand that's made almost exclusively of quartz, which is silicon dioxide. So that's why people call it silica sand.
And how common is it across the U.S., or particularly, I guess, in the Midwest?
Well, this deposit, the silica sand deposit, has a name. We call it the St. Peter Sandstone because it sticks out of the ground near St. Peter in Minnesota. And so the St. Peter Sandstone is present in Minnesota. It's underneath Missouri, Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin. So it covers a very large area of the Midwest. But in most places, it's really deep, so it's too deep to mine. There's kind of a large fold in the rocks underneath LaSalle County, and that fold, kind of at the peak of the fold, brings the layer of silica sand right up to the surface. So that makes it very convenient for mining because you just have to remove a little bit of rock and dirt from on top, and then you have direct access to that sand.
Can you speak to how this sand is used in fracking?
Yeah, so the thing about a beach sand is that the waves wash the sand over and over. It's like a natural tumbler. So our silica sand has been through this process. It was hundreds of millions of years ago that this happened, but it essentially got tumbled over and over, and so all the sand grains are really pretty round. And quartz sand is a very durable kind of mineral, so it doesn't dissolve in water, and it's pretty hard and it's pretty strong. So what they use it for is when they drill down into the ground for fracking, the rocks that they drill into have oil or natural gas in them, but the rocks are made usually of clay. And the clay or shale that they drill into is very hard, and the liquid and the gas does not move through there very easily. But if you push water under high pressure into those rocks, they fracture. So that's where the name fracking comes from. You can fracture those rocks. And once you create fractures, you have the opportunity for the oil or natural gas to move out of the rock, into the fractures, and into your well. But as soon as you pull the fluid out, then the fractures close, and then nothing comes out. So you need something to prop open those fractures. And so what the silica sand is used for is they pump the water down the well, and they put in some silica sand, and when they pull the water out, the fractures can't close up because the sand is there to hold the fractures open. And so then the natural gas or oil can come into the well through those fractures that are being propped open with silica sand.
Does Illinois have enough silica sand, or does LaSalle County have enough silica sand to be used for how much energy potential is in southern Illinois?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have lots and lots of silica sand. So with any natural resource, with any geologic resource, the amount available for production is partly dependent on what people are willing to pay for it. So we have some sand, a lot of sand that's relatively inexpensive because it's close to the surface. If demand went up and the price went up, then the mining companies would probably be willing to dig a little bit deeper to get the sand. So we have lots and lots of sand. I mean, the supply is limited, and it's also limited by how much of the landscape we're willing to exchange for taking out that sand, because when you dig a giant hole in the ground to get out the sand, then when you're done mining, that big hole in the ground isn't really useful for anything else. So one of the concerns people have is if we keep that land as farmland, if it's good farmland, you can grow crops on that farmland year after year after year. If you decide to scrape off the topsoil and dig out the sand, even when you're done mining, you have a big hole in the ground that's probably not going to be useful for farming anymore. So digging out the sand is kind of a one-shot deal, and then you're done. Farming, if you compare it to farming you can keep doing for forever as long as you take care of the soil.
Anything else you'd like to add about silica sand and its use in fracking that we didn't get to touch on?
Well, I think one of the things that's mentioned is that fracking has been something that's been done for close to 100 years, which is correct. But one of the big changes that's happened in the last 20 to 30 years is we developed new technology that allows us to drill horizontally. Most people, when they think of a well, think of a hole that goes vertically, straight down into the ground. And in oil fields in the past, what they would do is they would fracture around that vertical well, and it wouldn't take very much sand. Right now, they're able to go horizontally, I believe, up to 2 miles. And so if you have a horizontal well that's 2 miles long and you fracture that, that uses a lot more sand. And so I think one of the important things to remember is that it's a technology that we've had for a long time, but we've found a new way to use it that requires us to use a lot more sand. And I think the other thing that people have to keep in mind is that it's very attractive to use this to get a little bit more gas or a little more oil out of the ground. But there are limits and trade-offs with all of these technologies and with all of these methods of doing business. And that is, you know, a really good example is if you dig this big hole in the ground, you know, you're trading some sand today for the ability to farm tomorrow. And of course, for the people who live nearby one of these facilities, they're very concerned about how the facility operates. So if you look at some sand mines, the operators are very careful to make sure that that the sand that they mine doesn't produce dust that blows off the property. Other property owners and mine operators maybe aren't as careful as they should be, so they have a bigger impact on their neighbors. And, you know, some sand mines go into places where the farmland isn't very good. And so then their impact on our ability to farm in the future is not as much as somebody who puts their mine underneath what we would call prime farmland. So there are a lot of concerns that neighbors and local people have in terms of the long-term prospects, in terms of how the mine is operated. So the people who own the property that want to mine it have a right to mine it, but the neighbors also have a right to maintain their lifestyle. And so one of the jobs kind of the state and the local government is to balance the needs of those people. And it's not easy. It's not easy to do.